They looked at him and saw a simple man, a carpenter with healing in his hands. They saw him calm the sea and heal a dying man. They saw, but could they really understand? They could not. They could not. Though they tried, just a simple carpenter with healing in his hands. But could they really understand? They could not. They listened to the teaching that they heard at the mystery of his word. They wondered what he meant about a father's plan. But could they really understand? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? They could not. They could not. They could not. Oh!
could not. This is Easter, in the celebration of our Savior who overcame death, hell, and the grave. We come once again to revisit the story of the crucified Christ. It is a picture too awful to describe, too awesome to understand. The Creator, crucified on a criminal's cross, the Sovereign, agonizing in pain, the pure and righteous one, profaned and humiliated by all. He was a man that knew suffering and sorrow. He was a friend that knew what it felt like to be forsaken. He was a son who took care of his mother even as he died. Yet, he was God. Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Because of God's great love for us, we have been made alive in Christ.
It was love that compelled the Father to send his only Son to walk and live among us, unlovable sinners. It was love that compelled Jesus to leave his home in heaven, coming to earth to become the perfect demonstration of God's love. How could anyone possibly forget the things Jesus did? He turned water into wine. He fed the multitudes with a little boy's lunch. Jesus cleansed the leper, gave sight to the blind, caused the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. It was love that compelled Jesus to chase the demons away, raise the dead to life, heal the brokenhearted, and forgive the guilty. It was love that compelled Jesus to choose to do his Father's will.
There is a Come, walk with me down the path that leads to Calvary's cross. Follow his footsteps as Jesus moves in and around Nazareth. As he journeyed across the hills of Galilee, passing through the Mount of Olives, walking a lifetime of steps towards the Garden of Gethsemane. There he prayed all alone, agonizing over the pain and suffering he knew he soon would endure. But desiring his Father's will even more, he gave his life's blood as a redemption for every man, woman, and child. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so, in one redeeming act of obedient love, Christ walked that road to Calvary.
Thank you.
What is it to be loved? To know mercy so fully and completely? It is astonishing to think that the Lord of all heaven and earth, who created us, who knew us before we knew ourselves, would look at us with the ultimate affection and say, I will die for you. For all eternity, God the Father knew what it would cost, and in his zeal to save us, he delivered Jesus up to his executioners. This is love at its greatest moment.
Thank you. soul, a world lost without him. He could have simply turned and walked away, but the Father so he sent his son to die that day. Love carried the cross for
for me. Behold the cross. It declares to the whole world how much we are loved by the God that created us. When we gaze upon the cross, we discover the indescribable power of forgiveness. When we contemplate the cross, we realize that God's love for us is so high and so deep and so wide that our Savior would not and did not endure being eternally separated from us by what sin had done. I'm not one of his disciples. I, Nicodemus, am a member of the Sanhedrin. I have devoted my entire life to studying and keeping the law of God. I have looked daily to the promise from my side, to the coming of him. I, along with many of my fellow religious leaders, acknowledge that Jesus must be a great teacher sent from God, for no one could do the miracles he had done unless God were with him. But I needed to know more. So I arranged a secret meeting, and I spoke with the teacher. I longed to know how a good man like myself, yet also a sinful man, could be reconciled to holy God. Jesus answered, and his words were as if from the very voice of the Lord. He said to me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will never die, but will live forever." You know, I didn't fully understand his words, but they changed my heart. And I knew, I believed, he was the promised Messiah. Yahweh God had sent his Son, the promised Messiah, to become the Savior of all mankind. But instead of commanding an army and demanding repentance of guilty sinners, Jesus gave his very life. He knew he was going to die as a sacrifice for everyone. His disciples, the most religious, the Roman government, and yes, you and me. Behold the cross. There on the cross, God proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe the hardest thing for us to believe is that we are deeply and eternally loved by the one true God, the Savior. What about you? Is there sin in your life that separates you from God? Are you trying to become good enough to earn a relationship with him? Do you need grace, mercy, love, forgiveness? The cross demands a response to the atonement offered there in your place. Jesus bids you, "Come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Won't you come, kneel beneath the cross, and receive the love Jesus died to give you?
beneath the cross. Every chain that binds us has been loosed. Every heartache known in this early life, earthly life, has been healed. Every sin has been covered by his blood. By his grace, our victory has been won. At a young age, I believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I wanted his forgiveness. And how fortunate I was to have been raised in a Christian home. I remember sitting in church, you know, every Sunday with my entire family, attending vacation Bible school, going to church camps, touring with the youth choir. Even my college days, I made lifelong friends through my involvement with the Baptist Student Union. As my adult life began, everything was perfect, right? You guys believe that? You know, I wish I could say that, but unfortunately, my relationship with the Lord did not continue to grow. And actually, I soon realized that my faith was pretty shallow. As an Army aviator, a helicopter pilot, I was trained in the importance, you know, of wearing all of my protective gear. And although I was equipped with protection and good at my job in the Army, I found out I was not adequately prepared for the spiritual warfare in my daily life. Have you been there? And I soon wandered down a path, you know, of losing battles to temptation. I found myself, you know, like the Apostle Paul. I began to do things I didn't want to do. The things that I should do, you know, I mean, I didn't do the things that I should. You see, for me, I was missing the safeguards God has given each of us in his word. The lack of a disciplined and a personal time in his word, quiet time, it had a significant impact on my life. And it made me more vulnerable to and open to Satan's attacks, if you can relate to that. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're charged to take up the full armor of God. So then the day of evil, we can stand and stand firm. We're to clothe ourselves with his truth and righteousness. We're to walk in his gospel of peace. We're to take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of his spirit, which is his word. No longer does sin's curse have a hold on me. The hope promised in Christ has set my heart free.
I am clothed in love and grace. I do not wear my sin or shame. They have all been washed away. Gone are the stains of yesterday. I am held in perfect peace. Your covenant is keeping me. You've been all you said you'd be. Gone are the doubts that I believed. It is fair.
My own waste, you have paid for. is finally gone. You hold tomorrow in your hand, and hope is in my heart again. The chains of fear fell at my feet. Gone is the curse, as hope on me.
Thank you. his life for his friends. I was there when the Master spoke these words, but I did not understand how personal they would soon become. Please allow me to share my story with you. The night that Jesus was betrayed began with us. His disciples, joining him to celebrate the Passover meal. Before we began to eat, Jesus said one of us would betray him. Our disbelief quickly turned to anger, then to brokenness and grief. His voice was filled with anguish, yet Jesus began to comfort us. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid, for I have desired to share in this Passover with you. Jesus took the bread, lifted it to the heavens, and blessed it. He broke the bread and he passed it to each one of us and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take it, eat it, do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he raised the cup, looked to heaven, and then quietly spoke, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the remission of sin. Drink all of it." We sang a hymn, and then we went out to the Mount of Olives, to the garden where Jesus often went to pray. Jesus told us that we would all fall away from him that very night. "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away," I shouted. Tenderly, Jesus replied, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Again I shouted, "Even if I die with you, I will never deny you." As we entered the garden called Gethsemane, the Master took James, John, and myself further into the garden. Sharing that his soul was deeply grieved, even to the point of death, Jesus asked us, his beloved disciples, to watch and pray. 3 times. 3 times, he asked. And 3 times he returned to find us sleeping. The final time he woke us, we could hear the sounds of soldiers coming to arrest him. I jumped to my feet and I grabbed my sword and defensively cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus told me to put away my sword and he healed the man's ear. As they took him from the garden, I followed behind in the shadows. Jesus had said earlier that I would deny him. Not me! I would never deny knowing the Master. Why, I have followed him for 3 years, absorbing every waking moment under his care. I left everything to live with and learn from him. I walked and worked alongside of him. I laughed and cried with him. I love the man. How could I deny the Son of God? But I did. Someone questioned me, and then another. 3 times I said, I did not know him, getting more adamant with each denial. I did exactly what I said I would not do, wishing I could just disappear. I began to back away. But then I saw him. I saw the master. His body was bruised, and his face was bleeding. I desired to look away, but my eyes were drawn to his. Never, never had I seen such love.
Standing in the courtyard by the fire, words still ringing in my head, 3 times before the break of morn, you would be denied. Yet still I saw no judgment in your eyes. Now
ask you to be seated. I'm going to ask you to do something else. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? No one looking around in this place at all. No one. Heads bowed, every head bowed, every eyes closed. There's some people here this afternoon, and you have been struggling with spiritual uncertainty in your heart. You have been battling it. You've been hoping that everything was all right, and that battle continues. And you're tired of that struggle. You're tired of that battle. You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Right now, if that's you, would you pray a prayer like this? Would you say, Lord, I'm tired of this battle. I'm tired of this uncertainty. I thank you that for me you died, and for my sin you've died, and I'm tired of living up and down, hoping that I'm all right with you. And so today I want to settle that. Lord, I want to call on you to be my Savior. I want to do what your word says. I invite you to come into my life. Thank you for loving me and dying for me on the cross. And right now, I settle the issue of my eternal soul with you. I want to ask you, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one's looking about in this place. That's you. That's you. That you've been that person of uncertainty. I want you to do something right now. With heads bowed, eyes closed. If you just called on him, you said, I'm tired of the uncertainty. I want to settle this issue. Would you just look up at me? Would you look at me? Thank you. Just look at me. Catch my eye. Just say, that's me. Thank you. I'm settling that today. Thank you. Thank you. I'm settling that today. Are there others? Thank you. Thank you. I'm settling it. I'm tired of the uncertainty. I'm calling on him today. I'm settling it. Are there others? Now, Lord, I thank you for these who have called upon you this afternoon. And I pray, Father, that a fresh work has begun in their life. You said that as many as received you, you gave them the right to be children of God. And you said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I thank you for those who have called upon you and settled the uncertainty this afternoon. Father, help them now as they begin this new journey with you. Show them the next steps. Give them courage to take those steps for their good and for the sake of their growth and the good of the kingdom. We bless your name for the cross. All good things come to us through the cross. By your stripes, we were healed. So we thank you for the cross and the reminder this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody, if you will look this way for just a moment, I want to say to those in this room that you raised your head and you looked at me. We're not going to have a come-down invitation or anything like that, but I want to ask you to do something. Would you take the next steps sometime this week? Would you find somebody and some pastor or contact us or come see us or something and say, you know what, I settled it. I've been struggling with that. Take the next steps in the commitment that you made in this place. I don't care if you've been a church member all your life. Today, you've settled the greatest spiritual issue of all. And so take the next steps. Follow through with that, okay? Will you do that?
We would love to hear from you and help you take those next steps. You say, I don't even know what the next step is. Well, that's a starting place. And then we'll help you from there, okay? So I want to encourage you to do that, because people all around this auditorium said they called on, they settled that spiritual question mark in their heart today. And I am so proud of you for doing that. I think choir and orchestra, this may be one of the most moving and inspirational Easter presentations that I've heard you guys do. And that's at least 17 of them that I've heard. Many of you have heard them all through there, and I just think it was fantastic. And I thank you, and Tim and Debbie, choir and orchestra. Would you let them know again how much we appreciate the work that they put into this? And you can remain standing if you want, because we're about to leave here. But I want to just remind you of a couple. This begins, really, this morning, this evening, begins our celebration of Easter and the Passion Week. We've got other things ahead, like Friday's Good Friday luncheon, one of my favorite things that we do. We'll come together at 11:30. We'll have you out by 12:30. And you can get back if you're work, bring somebody with you. You don't have to have reservations. We'll meet in our fellowship hall. We'll have a chicken sandwich and a light meal. And then we'll have a special brief reminder of the cross, a devotional time, and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. And so I hope you'll be with us for Good Friday lunch. And then Good Friday evening, if you like music and you like music presentations, our contemporary band will be doing a Good Friday evening, 6:30, a worship event celebration. It'll be great. And so come for that, 6:30 Friday evening. And then on Sunday, you be sure to be here, because we're going to celebrate the second half of this celebration, which is the resurrection. The cross is the front side. You got to have the cross or you don't need the resurrection. But there's no point in the resurrection if you don't have the cross. So it's two sides of one coin. We'll celebrate the resurrection. It'll be a glorious, glorious day. And I'm going to sing He's Alive on that Sunday. Y'all okay with that? No, you come. It's going to be a great, great Sunday celebration. We're glad you've been here this afternoon. We hope you've been encouraged and built up in the faith. I hope you have a great week, and we will see you back here on Wednesday evening. God bless you. You're dismissed.